Perfect Talkers, what it do? It's your guy DJ Playboy, man. On this episode, we're going to talk about Fannie Willis, the DA out in Georgia. The judge says she could stay on the case, but something got to happen first. Also, Trump said it's going to be a bloodbath. But did he really say that, y'all? Bruno Mars owes how much to the MGM Grand? Airbnb said no more cameras indoors, and from what I hear, they trying to ban Flamin' Hot Cheetos. We got that and much, much more, y'all. It's the Perfect Talk Podcast, baby. Let's get it. Perfect Talkers, what it do? It's your guy DJ Playboy back in the building, rocking out with y'all. Happy to be here to give y'all the Perfect Talk Podcast, the latest and greatest in news, sports, politics, entertainment, all of the above, man. And let's get right into it. It's time for Plicka's Spotlight Story. If you don't know, that's where we shine a light on a news story that might not have gotten enough shine, or it might be the biggest story of the week, but I just feel like talking about it. So let's shine some light on your girl, Fannie Willis. If you've been keeping up with this story, shout out to you. And if you're not, I'm going to catch you up to date. Fannie Willis is the DA in the Georgia case against Donald Trump. Election fraud, go do your research and figure out what the case is about. But as soon as the trial started, one of Trump's co-defendants, Michael Roman, decided he wanted to bring up the fact that Fannie Willis and her lead prosecutor, Nathan Wade, might have a little something going on. And it might lead to a little conflict of interest. It might be something illegal going on with the money that she's paying him, that they taking trips, that they doing all types of scandalous stuff. And you know, we had to call them into court. They had to testify. And it gave us some great courtroom moments like this right here.
That has never in the history of ever happened, ever, okay?
Your security team has never taken him?
From my house? That's a lie.
And also, this right here.
Did you go to a cabin with Miss Willis ever?
Ever?
Ever.
I've been really trying, baby.
Trying to hold back this feeling for so long.
No.
You've never gone to a cabin with
this.
No.
Say what you want about Trump, man. That boy a comedian. Love him or hate him. That boy funny, though. So basically, Nathan Wade, the lead prosecutor on the case, had a little something going on with his boss, Fannie Willis, the DA for Georgia. It was a lot of distraction because all of this got nothing to do with the Trump case, to be honest with you. But you know what Trump and them trying to do. They trying to prolong it. They hoping Trump win the election. Then they just going to get the case thrown out. So they're trying to throw every delay that they can into this wheel. And a judge finally made a decision. He was like, yo, Fannie, you've been messing around with your lead prosecutor. We don't really know what's going on. So I'm going to give you two options. Either you step off the case or he got to go. And Nathan Wade, you know, he knew what time it was. He ain't even asked no questions. He just got up out of there. He was like, I'm out. You know what I mean? I'm going to step away from this case. Try to stop being a distraction to the people here. And he got up out the way. And, you know, Fannie's going to stay on the case. Her office is going to stay prosecuting it. That should keep the schedule going. But you know that ain't going to stop Trump from trying something else, man. And on Monday, March 18th, Trump and his co-defendants decided to appeal the decision made by Judge Scott McAfee, who's overseeing the case. And basically, they're just throwing up another Hail Mary, hoping that this is going to further prolong this process, delay the case, and get Trump back in office. We'll see what happens, man. I hope the whole saga with Fannie's over. I hope it could be a cautionary tale to everybody out there, especially females out there that are in positions of power, especially females of color that are out there that are in power. They are going to definitely try to use your relationships, your friendships, your family alliances, anything against you to take you down. Because there's a lot of people in this country who do not want to see a woman running the show, who don't want to see a woman calling the shots. And if they know that they can use something that they can hold over your head to take you down, they're going to do it. And they definitely try to do it with Fannie by using her after hours activities, all the above that they could use against her. And they're going to try to bring that up anytime they can. You know what I'm saying? And Trump's obviously out here. He's still going to make his comments. He's still going to make jokes. But just let it be a cautionary tale to you. You know what I'm saying? What's the phrase? Don't shit where you sleep. You know what I'm saying? Don't bang where you work. You know what I'm saying? Don't knock down your boss. Because it can always go wrong. But you never know what people could use against you. So always be smart. play your cards right. Shout out to Fanny. Glad she's still gonna stay on the case. And you better bring her home now. After all this trouble, you better bring home the dub. We'll see what's gonna happen. Now, I'm gonna keep y'all informed over here at the Perfect Talk Podcast. And right now, we're gonna switch things up to one of our newest segments here on the show. This one is called Winners and Losers. I mean, every game got a winner and a loser, right? Every week, too. It's just like the stock market, baby. Somebody's up and somebody's down. And this week's winner is the suspect in the shooting that took place on a Brooklyn subway. They said that the gentleman who fired the firearm was acting in self-defense. And that video that went viral all over social media, you know, corroborated his story and showed that, you know, he wasn't the aggressor, that he was reacting. And definitely, you know what I mean? I'm glad, because in New York City, you never know. Self-defense isn't always like a slam dunk that is going to, all right, I'm going to get out of this. You never know. Cops pull up and two people fighting. They don't know who started it. They don't know what's going on. They're just taking y'all both in. Hopefully, you know what I'm saying? They believe your story. Hopefully, you got a lawyer that can help you prove it. Hopefully, you know what I'm saying? You don't get caught up in the system, but you never know. So I definitely want to shout out the gentleman who was taken into custody and released. I know y'all seen the video, man. It was crazy. It was basically a fight that had happened for anybody out there who didn't see it. It was a fight that was occurring on the subway. Now, if you never rode the subway, you might be like, what's going on here? How'd this even start? But anybody who's ever ridden the subway knows sometimes people just get on there and be bugging. Just acting crazy, looking for attention. I'm gonna start a fight with everybody in here and see who actually reacts. And who knows what was going through this brother's mind. You know what I'm saying? And he was just bugging out, started a fight with a dude. They got into it. He ain't know he messed with the wrong dude, because the chick that he was with had to, you know what I'm saying? She had to join on her, and she took it back to the 80s on him. You know what I'm saying? She pulled out the knife and but he was like, oh, word? You brought a knife to a gunfight, because I'm strapped, shorty. And he pulled out the jammy. Lo and behold, he got it wrestled away from him, and he got shot with it. Man, and if you don't know, man, this is like poetic justice for anything that ever happens on a New York subway. Because there's so many times people come on acting like assholes and they walk away, or they just go home. And it's like, not only did this dude come in there acting like an asshole, but he left with stab wounds and shots. You know what I'm saying? Gunshot wounds. So it's just like, bruh, what's on your biscuit? Now, there's a bigger issue at play here. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, there's mental health that's at play here, but we ain't got time to be sympathetic to everybody's mental health issues when we're trapped on a subway, and what you're trying to do not only could it hurt the people that you're trying to fight, but all the other passengers on the train. You got passengers yelling, yo, there's kids on here, there's babies on here, what y'all doing? Y'all bugging. Take that outside, wait till we stop. And there's nothing scarier than being trapped on a New York City subway. And you saw how those people were running as soon as them doors opened. They were running to get away from when homie pulled the gun out. It was nuts. It was a crazy scene. Shout out to the people that recorded it. You know what I'm saying? And kept their composure and kept their camera steady until it was time to get running. But it was nutty. It's a nutty situation. So definitely want to shout out the suspect who they said was acting in self-defense. Now, the girl that was with him, shorty that pulled out the knife and went, they looking for her from what I hear. So I don't know if she's on the lam. I don't know if she turned herself in yet. But you know what I'm saying? They trying to figure out, like, yo, what's going on with you? What's good with your homegirl, bro? You know what I'm saying? What's good with shorty? But she definitely had her man's back, because, you know, it could have been lights out for him and or her friend or whoever, whatever their relationship is to each other. I don't know. But definitely, you know, he's this week's winner. And we got to figure out something with these subway systems. Kathy Hochul, she's the governor out here in New York. She's got the National Guard down there, and it still happens. The first day she had the National Guard down there, a train conductor got hit in the head with a bottle. So I don't know what couldn't be done to solve it. Obviously, this National Guard presence with them holding the AK-47s and them doing checks when you walk in, it's not stopping anything. Because from what I hear, this brother that had the firearm on him, the aggressor in this situation, he went right through the turnstiles and went through an emergency exit. You know what I'm saying? So he basically eluded the fare. Somebody would have stopped him. They might have stopped this whole thing from happening. Might have figured out he had a firearm on him. All the above. So the subway system has been a shit show since I was a little kid. You know what I'm saying? It's always been like a little nerve wracking to have to be on it. You always feel like a little bit vulnerable being on it, and it looks like it hasn't gotten any better. So we got to see what they're going to do out there in New York City, but definitely salute to this week's winner. And this week's loser is fake news. Yeah, that's right. The news media that feels like we just got to get a headline. We just got to get a story. And they did it this week with your guy Trump. You know what I'm saying? You've seen it already. it went down with the whole bloodbath. It's going to be a bloodbath if I don't win in November.
Donald Trump is taking heat for the language that he used at a rally in Ohio over the weekend.
A 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole... That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath.
I'm seeing these headlines all over. I'm in the gym. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, Trump at it again. Trump doing it again. Only to find out he was taken out of context. He was actually talking about the auto industry and was saying something about Xi Jinping. And I'll say the quote, if you're listening, President Xi Jinping, you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal. Those big monster car manufacturing plants right now that you're building in Mexico, and you think that you're going to not hire Americans and you're going to sell the cars to us? No, we're going to put 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line. And you're not going to be able to sell those guys if I get elected, Trump says. Now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole. That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. But they're not going to sell those cars. They're building massive factories. Now, Donald Trump gives you enough content. I mean, this is the second time he's being mentioned on this podcast. We ain't got to go reaching for a Donald Trump quote that just might be dangerous. Like, even in this same rally he was at, he definitely played the national anthem for January 6th protesters that, or rioters or insurrectionists, whatever you want to call them, that got locked up, calling them hostages. And played a rendition of the Star Spangled Banner sang by these inmates.
Please rise for the horribly and unfairly treated January 6th hostages.
He saluted during a rendition of the national anthem that was recorded by people in prison for what they did on January 6th.
Just the corniest shit I've ever seen in my life. Like, play that, you know what I'm saying? Put that front and center. Put that on the big screen. But the whole bloodbath like thing I seen all weekend going crazy. It's like, we don't got to take the man out of context. He's dumb enough to give us enough content that we are going to be able to, you know what I'm saying, use it against him. So fake media, you a loser this week for that, man. Also, what y'all did to my guy Bruno Mars. They was talking about Bruno Mars out here gambling his life away. Talking about he owes the MGM $40 million in gambling debt. And, you know, the MGM Resorts came out and said, nah, man, chill. Bruno, our guy. And he don't owe us nothing. We're proud of our relationship with Bruno Mars. He's one of the world's most thrilling and dynamic performers. From his shows at the Dolby Live at Park MGM to the new Pinky Ring Lounge at Bellagio, Bruno's brand of entertainment attracts visitors from around the globe. MGM and Bruno's partnership is longstanding and rooted in mutual respect. Any speculation otherwise is completely false. He has no debt to MGM. That doesn't mean Bruno Mars isn't out there gambling tons of money away. No. But to say that he's like in $50 million debt to MGM, to say that basically they own him. He out here tap dancing because he owes them money. Like, Bruno Mars makes $90 million a year from his shows that he does with the MGM. He literally could tell them, yo, just take it from the check. You know what I'm saying? Like, just if he really owed them $50 million. So we don't got to go with these outlandish stories just trying to create a headline. Does it mean Bruno Mars doesn't have a gambling problem? No. You know what I'm saying? I've heard a lot about Bruno Mars and his vices from since he first came in the game. But it doesn't mean he doesn't have it under control. You know, he's very famously told James Corden that he used to play poker just to pay his rent. So maybe it's something he has under control. Doesn't mean it's not a problem, but it's also not our business. You know what I mean? Like, that's on Bruno Mars to decide, you know, when he wants to get help for that and, you know, whatever steps he wants to take if gambling is a problem in his life. But if he bringing home 90 just from MGM, imagine how much he bringing home from the year. Maybe this is like, you know what I'm saying? Maybe this is his little gambling money that he could play around and lose. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to Bruno Mars, man. Hold your head. You know what I'm saying? And the media don't got to be out here trying to, you know what I mean, shit on you, man. That gambling thing is weird, though. I ain't gonna lie. Like, I've obviously gambled before, and I've obviously won gambling, but I never won big. And you know what I'm saying? And I think that's a good thing, because gambling is so tricky, man. You I think if you win big, you always think like, yo, if I ever happen to lose, I could win it back. And I think that's how people get themselves in bigger and bigger holes. Like, if Bruno Mars did lose $50 million at the tables, you know what I'm saying? Like, you think about what that money could have went towards, how much people that could have helped. And you like, damn, you just gave that back to the casino. But, you know what I mean? From what we hear, you know what I'm saying? If he works for them, they comping him, y'all. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like he getting that money back in another way. So I get it. That's nothing. Now, if there's, like I said, if there's a problem, though, shout out to Bruno Mars. Hopefully he gets the help for that. But I think the man's doing all right. And that takes us to my favorite segment of the show. It's called Have You Heard? That's right, man. I take some headlines that I seen this week, and I bring them to the people here at Perfect Talk. And maybe I could clear them up. Maybe I could explain them for you. Maybe I could just inform you about them, man. And this week has a theme. Yeah, everything being banned. You know what I'm saying? What they banning here? What they banning there? What they banning everywhere, man? And first up this week, I heard Airbnb is banning indoor cameras. I'm like, man, this should have already been a thing. You know what I'm saying? What if I'm at an Airbnb just letting it hang? You know what I'm saying? Letting it swing? You know, y'all got me on camera now? Like, it's crazy. But it do make sense because, you know what I'm saying? I think we sometimes think of things from, like, the retail standpoint or the employee standpoint. But you got to think of it like an employer, right? You got to think of it like the actual owner of this property. They got to protect their investment. So I kind of see why they feel like it's something that they should do just in case, you know, like, Airbnb renters do damage, cause something, now they could prove it. It ain't a he say, she say. It's like, yo, bro, I got you on camera. You out here, you came in, you was coked up. You know what I'm saying? You tripped over this right here. You smashed the wall right here. You did all that. Like, we got it. What's going on? But Airbnb said, nah, them indoor cameras got to go. Whether y'all tell them on the listing page or not, we do not want cameras indoors at the Airbnbs. And I respect that, man, because the guests should have their privacy. You're on vacation. You're chilling. You know what I mean? You should have that. Doesn't mean you can't have cameras around the property. You can still have the doorbell cameras from what I'm reading here. You can still have outdoor cameras. You do have to let the renters know that these cameras are on the property, but those are allowed. But no, I agree with this one. I think that we don't really need the indoor. Like, you just got to check your property after every renter. Like, if you gonna know if there's damage is done, right? The same way a hotel knows when you check out, they come in there and clean up. Your cleaning crew or somebody's going to tell you, yo, this is damaged. You know what I mean? You should have a spot checklist just to make sure. So I'm in agreement with this. I don't think the cameras are necessary indoors, and there's probably more creepy shit going on than necessary by having them in there. So I think I'm in agreement with this one, man. Have you heard Airbnb is banning them cameras? And Plicka Playboy agrees, man. Have you heard P-Hub is banned in Texas? Now, I saw this headline. I was like, what is going on? Why is P-Hub banned in Texas? If you don't know, I can't say the name of the actual website because I like getting views on YouTube, and I heard they don't like that word, so we just gonna call it P-Hub, but you know what I'm saying? Y'all can look it up if you don't know what I'm talking about, and I'm gonna refer to it as corn. When I say corn, I think y'all know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm saying? But I can't say the actual word, but basically, Texas has some new laws regarding certain websites, you know, like, it's not just the corn websites, it's the, you know, anything that's kind of like adult, like an alcohol website or things of that nature that they don't want kids on. They have age verifications. Now, this was really confusing for a lot of people because they like, I think we remember when corn websites back in the day, or I see it now with actually a lot of cannabis websites where they'll be like, how old are you? Are you 18 or older? You know, for the corn websites or with the cannabis, it'd be like, are you 21 or older? With the alcohol, are you 21 or older? And you just click the yes. Like, I mean, it's like the honor system, you know what I'm saying, in terms of anything like that. But Texas is taking it another step. And this is why P-Hub is not in Texas anymore, because Texas requires users to prove their age by entering information from a government-issued ID, you know, like your state ID, or a third-party system that uses public and private data such as employment, education, or mortgage information to verify age. Now, you can see why a lot of people might not want their photo ID connected to the type of things they're watching on P-Hub. So they P-Hub, feels like they gonna lose a lot of users like this. And they like, yo, we not messing with it, man. Y'all going too far. And I'm not gonna lie, I don't really know where I'm at on this. Like, I mean, I feel bad for the people in Texas, but I haven't heard about all the corn sites leaving Texas. So I'm assuming they just gonna figure out, if people really want it that bad, they're gonna put the ID in. I'm not sure why P-Hub is putting up such a big fight about this, but I do kind of feel bad for the people in Texas if they can't rock with the hub. But it ain't like they ain't got many other options. You know what I'm saying? Like, OF didn't leave Texas. Like, I mean, I can go on listing a lot of websites, y'all, but it's not necessary. Y'all know the sites. And the fact that they're not leaving that making me feel like this is a sword that P-Hub is willing to die on in terms of some bigger fight. Maybe they feel like this might spread, and if they don't start putting a, foot in the ground, it's going to happen other places. So let's get serious with it. You know what I'm saying? I kind of see something similar going on right now with Uber and Lyft over in, like, Minneapolis, I believe. They're raising the minimum wage, and they like, y'all gonna have to pay just like everybody else. And Uber and Lyft is like, nah, we just not gonna be around here no more. Y'all figure it out. And it's basically gonna see who gonna wait it out, and gonna see, like, are y'all gonna let us pay what we want to pay, or are they gonna cave in and be like, that Minneapolis market is so serious, we missing out on it, let's get it back popping again. I don't know. More than likely the former than the latter, but we'll see how that goes. But in terms of P-Hub, I just feel like they just like, I don't know. I really don't know the strategy. Like, Texas is a big state. Texas is a big market. Like, I'd imagine they're losing a lot of advertising dollars not being allowed out there. But and I also do think if people want it bad enough, they'll put their state ID in. Like, I get why people might have a little bit of trepidation about it, a little bit, but people putting their state ID now for to get verifications on Google, so it's like, that's tracking everything you do too. So what are we really saying here? So it's like, I think that they'll just acquiesce to it. They'll trust that maybe there'll be some type of privacy and their information isn't going to get out about, what kind of weird fetishes and what type of wild stuff they watching. But I'll keep y'all informed and let y'all know how this pans out. And finally, man, the ban to end all bans, man. I heard they trying to ban Flamin' Hot Cheetos out in Cali. What's going on? This was another, like, a clickbait type of headline, too, because they not coming for Flamin' Hot Cheetos at all. They really coming for them chemicals that are in Flamin' Hot Cheetos. And it's not all over California. It's just in the schools. They be like, why are we giving little kids food, synthetic food dyes like red 40, yellow 5, yellow 6, blue 1, blue 2, green 3. I don't even know what these are, but titanium dioxide don't sound great. You know what I'm saying? It don't sound like something that we should be giving our kids. And who knows how many foods that are in that this stuff is in. I'm sure a lot more than just M&M's, Gatorade, and Flamin' Hot Cheetos. You know what I'm saying? Especially if it's in those popular foods, I'm assuming it'd be a lot of other places. But California's like, we stepping up, we taking some pride in this. And this I respect too. Not that I'm crazy about Flamin' Hot Cheetos. I actually like the Flamin' Hot Funyuns, which do not do wonders for the breath, y'all. So make sure you keep the Listerine little strips on deck when you got that. But I do feel a little bit of guilt if I give my kids some Flamin' Hot Cheetos, because I'm like, man, what's in that? You know what I'm saying? And I definitely try to limit how much, we give the kids. But you got to figure, like, some kids is eating that every day, right? Some kids is throwing that back. And who knows what the effects that these have on you? Who knows what they could do to you? You know what I'm saying? They could be cancer causing. They could have some type of effect on your brain development. So basically the reasons that synthetic food dyes, like the ones I told you about earlier, have been linked to hyperactivity and other neurobehavioral effects in children who vary in sensitivity to the chemicals in the food they eat. I guess also that we are seeing increasing numbers of U.S. children diagnosed with behavioral disorders. They're feeling that a lot of this comes from the food, and this assessment can inform efforts to protect children from exposures that may exacerbate behavioral problems. Y'all thought I was going to mispronounce exacerbate, right? Yeah, I've been practicing. This I respect. Anything that protects the kids, I respect, because, kids ain't doing the research to know what red dye 40 is, what yellow dye 3, what none of, or yellow 6, yellow 5, green 3, nobody knows what that does. Even as adults, most people aren't going to do the research, but at least protect the kids, put a barrier between them and give them more healthy snacks, because I was a little chubby kid growing up, and it was because it was nothing but cookies and honey buns and all that type of shit around, So, get them little kids a piece of apple. Give them, a banana or something like that, man. Drink some water, do something, But we do got to start thinking about what we are giving the kids, because we're not helping them in the long run. And the adults as well. Maybe we need somebody stepping in with that too. But that's neither here nor there. That's a whole nother episode in itself, man. It's your guy DJ Plucka Plucka Playboy up out of here, man. Make sure y'all stay tuned to the Perfect Talk podcast. Check me out on X at DJ Playboy. Check me out on Instagram at Plickapeezy, PlickaPeezy. Also, check us out, the Perfect Talk podcast, on Instagram at Perfect Talk Radio. We know we're going to keep doing it. And check out the website, www.perfecttalkpodcast.com. You know, I'm Big Tings of Guan, and we got the merch on there now. So go check that out, man. And also, check out the YouTube channel. If you're listening to us out there, go hop on the YouTube, hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, leave a comment. We holding it down. We just hit 300 subscribers. So, you know, we growing, baby. We growing. Come join the massive, baby. Let's do it. We're going to keep it moving over here. And this your guy, DJ Playboy, up out of here. Spread love. It's the Brooklyn way. Peace.